Yesterday, the UNHCR, the International Refugee Agency, warned of an impending genocide in South Sudan as reports emerged of ethnic cleansing and deliberate mass starvation of entire communities. But has the international community learned any lessons from the mass slaughter that took place in Rwanda in 1994? More than two decades on, Rwandan authorities are still trying to secure justice for the victims. But as fresh attempts are made to indict French officials, has the international community learned any lessons from Rwanda? And can it stop a similar tragedy from taking place in South Sudan? Our reporter Mark Hurst has this.
In 1994, the African state of Rwanda, a former German and Belgian colony that had strong links with France, experienced one of the worst genocides in modern times. Between 800,000 and 1 million people, mostly from the Tutsi minority in the country, died at the hands of Hutu extremists, many of them publicly hacked to death by machete. Earlier this week, Richard Mahumza, Rwanda's chief prosecutor, indicted 20 senior French officials who he once questioned in connection with the massacre.
The inquiry so far is focused on 20 individuals, and according to the information we gather so far, our office requires some explanation on the allegations against them for their law.
France has admitted their forces made mistakes during the efforts to maintain peace between the two sides, but they have consistently denied claims they were complicit in the genocide. Tensions have remained between Rwanda and France in the 22 years since the slaughter took place. But what realistic chance is there that senior French military and political figures could face justice in Rwandan courts? Well, joining me now is Professor Hans Kochler, an expert in international criminal law and a consultant to the United Nations. Professor Kochler, these fresh criminal cases that the Rwandan authorities have opened are not the first time prosecutors in the country have tried to seek justice from French officials. In 2009, 33 French political and military figures were identified by Rwanda as being complicit in the genocide. What realistic prospect is there that France will surrender these named officials to the Rwandan court system?
There is no realistic prospect at all, as far as I can see. As you said, these allegations are not new, and also these allegations have been investigated in France by French authorities and by initiative of the French Parliament. And the problem is that Rwanda does not have an independent judicial system that could investigate these allegations in an objective and unbiased manner. And by the way, there was an International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda that wrapped up its work in December last year, and that would have been the place to investigate and, if evidence was found, prosecute. It seems to me that this is now a tit-for-tat action because France has again taken up an investigation into the responsibility of the president of Rwanda for the downing of the plane that transported the presidents of Rwanda and Burundi, an event which triggered the genocide in 1994.
And can you explain why France found itself taking such a prominent role in Rwanda at the time of the genocide, when it is well known that they were a close ally of the Hutu nationalist government before the mass killings began?
I mean, France was supporting the Hutus, so they had military units there, they had military advisors, and that was a relationship or a cooperation at the state level. And it was in this time that the confrontation escalated between the ethnic groups. And that was also a result of how the Rwandan Patriotic Front, the RPF, acted in the years before 1994. And I would think that this is to be seen in a larger geopolitical context for influence between the English-speaking or between the Anglophone world and the Francophone world.
Where does that leave us in terms of the concept of international justice? I mean, presumably there's disquiet on both sides, both on the Rwandan side and on the side of Western powers who presumably want some kind of justice for those who were killed. I mean, where does that leave us?
It leaves us in a situation where we have to admit that there is absolutely no adequate framework for international criminal justice that could be done in an unbiased and objective manner. And the problem is that each side will just try to accuse the other side, but everything is based on policy of double standards. That means those who are in power now and who prevailed in 1994 will want to prosecute the others, namely the Hutus, and the other way round.
And there are warnings yesterday from UNHCR, the refugee agency, that we could see a repeat of the Rwandan genocide in South Sudan. Do you think the international community has learned enough from the mistakes in Rwanda to take decisive action in South Sudan? And do you think the UNHCR assessment of a possible impending genocide there is credible?
I don't think that the United Nations or the international community has learned anything of previous events. What is always the decisive factor in the action, international action of the major players is the national interest of each and every country, and those everything they do depends on the constellation of national interests. And if there is a certain motivation on the part of one of the major actions to do something in the sense of humanitarian actions, they would do it, and otherwise not. And that the situation was able to or has been allowed to escalate in the way it did in Sudan or in southern Sudan is quite telling. I mean, all of this could have been prevented after the separation of South Sudan from the Republic of Sudan if there would have been a more active and vigorous international commitment.
Professor Hans Kochler, thanks for joining us today on Radio Sputnik.
You're welcome.